precious listen, building.
You are more than the air.
Listen, close to my heart.
I see her face and notice she sees.
Your reflection is more than you see. You are more than a phenom, lasting essence longer than eons in the plateau that we on.
Welcome to Poetic Properties Podcast. I'm your host, Complex, the poet, author, father, and entrepreneur. Today's episode, it really is about just us as black people being enough. Us as black men, black women. I have a few special guests here today. They're going to be off camera. My oldest, Kevin Jr., and my second son, Keanu. I wanted them to be here while I was recording this, so in case they have any questions and that I can answer, hopefully, you know, if it's questions that I can't answer, you guys will be able to help me out with that. But I just want to start off for me, the first time that I, with my own eyes, recognized that racism exists was during the Rodney King trial. I was 9 years old. And I witnessed that with everybody else. It came on TV, and it was like, it was crazy, and I didn't understand it at first. And then the verdict, they went to court, and, you know, the cops got found not guilty, and the city went crazy. And I remember at that time just being like, man, like, I didn't fully understand why police would get off. But I just understood that there was a hatred for black people, you know, people of color in general. And so it's crazy to me that May of 92 is when the riot started. May of 2020, we're in another riot, same exact situation, police brutality against another black man. And it's like, at what point is it enough? At what point is justice going to be served? At what point am I going to be able to just walk outside without having any fear towards police or just in general? You know, I have four sons that I have to teach them how to survive from police. I have to teach them how to survive, you know, because any wrong movement, any sudden movement, any wrong word, the police will say they feel threatened or whatever the case. I mean, we've seen so many different cases of that. So I wanted my kids to be here because I wanted them to understand why I am the way that I am. I remember during that trial, I remember all the adults like wigging out, just like, I can't believe it. It's on tape. And you know, what more can we do? And then they started like burning LA down, and, you know, people was getting beat up. I mean, it was crazy. And still it didn't resonate in a sense of I necessarily had to have fear because I was a child. I experienced, you know, bad situations with police like throughout my teenage life, but it's this one incident I remember. And that was the turning point for me where I was just like, all right, the police is wild and out. Like, for lack of other words, I'm not fucking with the police. It is what it is. I was with my brother and I was with my father. We was at Jim's Burgers. Excuse me. We was at Jim's Burgers. It's a hood establishment where I'm from, whatever. But I was with my dad. So it's like, all right, cool. I'm sitting up on the counter talking. Police pull up, like, y'all, you need to get down. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, it is what it is. We always sit up there. Our high school was right down the street, whatever. He took me out the counter. He took me to the car, and he handcuffed me. And I remember laying on the hood of the car, like, he put, like, try to be real tough, like, trying to scare me or whatever, put the cigar. He had a cigar. Put the cigar on the hood, and he's like, yeah, you know, you fit the description, yada, yada. Same on, same on. I'm like, what? Like, I'm here with my dad. I fit what description of what? And so I remember my dad, like, telling me to relax, you know, whatever, but my attitude is not set up that way. So I'm pissed off, and it's like, I didn't even want to eat no more because it's like, what are you doing? I'm a high school student here with my dad. You telling me I fit the description of whoever, whatever, ain't nothing but Mexican and black people in the area. So what description is that? And I remember from that point on, I just really disliked the police. Because it's like, if I'm sitting here and I'm chilling and I'm relaxing, I don't have on no gang attire, no weapons, no nothing. I'm with my dad. I'm chilling. What description do I fit? The only description it was that I had on a white t-shirt and I was black. And so it's like, it's really weird to me that now, 37, you know, I got to tell my kids, be careful. You know, I got to tell my kids, like, keep your hands where they can see them. I moved out of the hood so that my kids didn't have to live with the same dangers that I had to coming up. And now they're in a worse situation now in life than I was. And I was ducking bullets in gang fights. You see what I'm saying? And it's like, I grew up at a time where you just had to defend yourself. And everybody want to talk about, oh, it's black on black, oh, it's this, oh, it's that. And it's not. Like, there are statistics that show it's an equal amount of violence towards everybody. And everybody's like, oh, why? Why we don't speak up on this? Why we don't speak up on that? And where I come from, everybody's held accountable. It's disheartening seeing that even today in 2020, us as African Americans still are treated like animals. Treated less than animals. There's more jail time given for people who hurt animals than for these cops and people who kill unarmed black people. People of color. And it's just, it's really hard. And I'm at a place to where there's so much anger in me, but I know that I have my sons and I have to make sure that they're okay. I have to make sure that they don't take that anger and they don't turn it into something that's going to get them hurt. They're teenagers. Unfortunately, police are killing teenagers as well. And that's the problem with that. That's the problem that I have with everybody having a problem with Black Lives Matter. I've seen all the way from Columbine all the way till now where Caucasians get escorted to jail in peace. They get handcuffed. They get a chance in court. And they just murdered people. If a black person looks wrong or says the wrong thing, it's immediate death. And it's unfair. So I have my kids here. And I don't want to be all over the place. I want to see if they have any questions, anything, so that we can open up dialect so I can make sure that they're informed and, you know, I'm informed of how they feel and what's going on. So who want to start? I'll start with Keanu. What's your question? My thoughts about that, I'm very, very angry about that because when people call the police on you, it shouldn't automatically be a death sentence. And the reason why the police was called I could be wrong, but from everything that I read about it, they said that he was accused of forgery. And that's either writing a bad check, having bad money, whatever the case is. Well, when they called the police, you know, they arrested him. He walked to the car. They put him in the car and they start beating up on him in the car. Like, there's multiple videos that came out. And it angers me because even if he did write a bad check, there's no reason to beat him up and he's complying. There's no reason for you to kneel on him and he's complying. That's the fear, because police are supposed to protect and serve, but yet they're using excessive force on everyone. It's just that black people are dying from it at a higher rate and no one cares. Like everyone says, oh, they do that to this, to Hispanics. They do that to white people. They do that to men. They do that to women. There's no justice being served anywhere. And so for me, it creates a deep sense of fear, even though I'm not a bad citizen, even though that, you know, I don't do that type of stuff, I could still die. Like, I'm angry, I'm hurt because that man has kids. He's somebody's son, he's somebody's uncle, and all because it was assumed that he wrote a bad check, he was arrested. And the thing is, nothing happened to the person who called the police and caused all this. That person gets to go to their family, work, live life, have fun, do whatever. And it's just not fair. So I'm angry and I'm hurt and I'm scared because it's happening on camera. You see what I'm saying? So it's not one of those things to where it's like, you push me, I push you. It's not one of those. It's like, I have you on camera and I'm like, I'm screaming, I can't breathe. And you as a police officer don't care. That creates anger in me. Because why do you have to be this way off of an assumption of a nonviolent crime? Why does there need to be four officers for me supposedly giving someone a bad check? So I'm hurt and I'm scared, and it creates a higher level of anxiety and depression because I'm black. You know how much time I go up to the store. You know how often, you know, I have to pull cash out and pay for stuff. And at any given moment, someone could accuse me of giving them bad money, and now I could be George Floyd. So it's I don't know, man. I don't know. That's why I keep my head on a swivel no matter where I go, and I got to defend myself from whoever. I've always told you that, from whoever, no matter how it ends, if I'm being mistreated, I just have to do what I have to do. What about you?
If I was
in George Floyd's position, to be honest, son, there was nothing he could have done. There was nothing he could have done. He was handcuffed. So there was no way for him to fight. There was no way for him to move. Not only was somebody on his neck, there was people kneeling on his back. There were people kneeling on his leg. Like, he was pinned down. And there was it was nothing he could do. And unfortunately, to say, and I don't want to be so harsh, but if I was in that position with the asthma that I have and the conditions that I have, I would have fell victim to the same fate, which is death. And that's the hardest part about it. It's no one cares. It's taking the world to riot. It's taking the world to protest. It's taking the world, like, you guys see the timeline that I show you guys. You guys see how they're just walking up and hitting people, and it's protesters with their hands up, and they're trying to say that, oh, you know, the protesters are rioting and violent, but they're not showing you who's really starting it. They're not showing you, you know, what's really going on. I showed you that video of how all the news stations are saying the exact same thing, which is opposite of what's really going on. And that's why I love that we have our phones now, that we can be our own news stations. We can be, you know, our own radio stations. We can get the information out to the people because that's what's needed. That's what's needed so that people can see, you know, what's really going on. It's scary. It really is. I constantly, when I'm going to the store, or I'm going, you know, to grab us something to eat, it's been multiple times to where I know my license is clean. I know I have insurance. I know the car is paid for. I know all of that. And police will see me and turn right around and get right behind me. I've had it to where even in this development where I'm going to get y'all something to eat, the police saw me and they literally followed me until I pulled into the garage. So why? Because I have dreadlocks, because I'm black, because my car is nice. That's it. That's all it takes. And it's happened multiple times where it's like, at what point do you guys just treat us like human beings? At what point do we get the same respect? Just because I drive a nice car doesn't mean I stole it. Just because I have dreadlocks don't mean that I sell or smoke weed. Just because I'm black don't mean that I'm a thief. Like, it's horrible how people look at us as black people and people of color in general. And it, like I said, we're in a moment now where the tide is turning and people are just tired. Like, people are tired of the abuse. People are tired of being hurt. People are tired of no justice being served. And this is what it's come to. Y'all know me. I'm chill as they come until you push me to a certain extent. Once you back me up on a wall, I'm still like, hey, because I don't have no chill. So you can't keep on having us turn the other cheek every time. Like, we try peaceful, then they still, no, you can't do that. We try protest, no, you can't do that. Now we're a mixture of rioting and protest, and now we're getting ears. Now it's like, oh, okay, what's going on? But it's more so people trying to focus on the riots than it is the peaceful part. And that's the problem that we have. That's a problem that we've had for ages. I really thought that you guys would be able to grow up and miss this part of life. Like, it would just be like, before that happened to me, when I was when the police had put me off the counter, I was in high school. Before that, I just was like, all right, whatever, I see the police, yada yada, whatever, it is what it is. We was raised not to trust the police regardless, because of where we lived at and how they treated us in general. I just didn't know why. I always thought that you guys would be able to, as you grow up, it would just be like, dang, dad had it bad when he grew up, or dang, you know, grandma and poppy said yada yada. And so I cry at night just thinking like, damn, my kids have to go through this. And it's like, I moved you guys here because of what was going on where I was from. And now, you guys, in my opinion, now are in more danger in this time, in this era, than I was back then. Because it's different when you beefing with somebody and you know people after you, you hanging with people and you know there's rivalry, and you know how you, like, it just is what it is. You know when you're going to have to fight, you know when you're going to have to shoot, etc. But when you live in a place where you don't have none of that, and the only opposition that you have is racist officers, that changes the dynamic. So it's nothing that I would have done different. It's nothing I could have done different if I was in George Floyd's situation. I'm angry, I'm hurt, I'm scared, but I'm a fighter. And you know I'm going to defend y'all to the end. I'm going to teach y'all how y'all got to get through life, how you have to maneuver through the streets, and not the streets like y'all gangsters or nothing like that, but just maneuver through life. And that's my job, and it's just hard because every time I cut on the TV, every time, you know, I get on social media, all I'm seeing is more and more police brutality, and there's no consequence. Like, so basically, you're telling me that a police officer could just shoot me because he wants to, and I'm supposed to just be like, all right, cool. They can beat me if they want to, no matter if I'm laying on the ground, hands up, walking, you know, not even speaking to them. Like, they can find whatever reason, and it's just been no justice. It's just been no justice, and I think that that's the hardest part for me in trying to get you guys to understand what I'm telling you guys. Yo, this is how you got to do this. Like, when you're talking to other people, this is how you got to move. Make sure you look people in their eyes. Make sure when you shake the hand, do this. Make sure, you know, if you in a crowd, then jump. Y'all get back to back and y'all fight your way out and get back home. Because you never know what's going to happen. And it's like, that's my fear, is that out here, it's not many black people. You've seen from your own situation, I had to call the police and they still didn't want to help us. So I had to tell you, okay, cool. That kid touched you again. You already know what time it, you know what time it is. Once I said that, you saw, they kept calling, hey, don't tell him that, he can't defend himself. He can't. No. That's what we're going to do. Since I followed your protocol, you didn't help. That's how I feel in real life. The difference is, if I call for help, being the color that I am, with the hair that I have, it might be a death sentence. And you hear people say that all cops are not bad and stuff like that. It is what it is. Because if you bad and he see you be bad, he just as guilty as you for letting you do the thing that he know I'm going to be mad at. You see what I'm saying? So, I don't know, man. It's just really a difficult thing.
Do you feel safer or, like, more scared that Anonymous is helping?
I'm not scared. Anonymous has been around for a while. And Anonymous comes and, I don't know if it's a he or a she. I don't know if it's a group. I'm just being honest. But I do know when they come around, they drop information for the people that are, they release private information to the people, from what I understand, that we should know, but higher ups try to hide from us. So Anonymous, in my opinion, has, I could be wrong, but from what I've ever seen from Anonymous, it wasn't bad. It was just exposing the truth to the people. So I don't necessarily know if I feel, I don't necessarily know if I feel safer. I'm not scared. I don't think that they've done anything wrong. I mean, that's just my opinion, though. I feel like them releasing the information that they have to the people is good for the people to know. Because, like, why shouldn't we know that? Like, we should, just like the government knows everything about us, our cell phone number, they listen to our phone calls, stuff like that. So when you go to certain places, just with a fingerprint or just with a copy of your ID, they know everything about you. We should be able to know everything about people that are in power. Whether it's good or bad, we should be able to make the decisions by having all the facts. And that's, in my opinion, that's what Anonymous has done by coming out and releasing whatever information the group has been doing. I don't see nothing wrong with it.
Do you think that when they release the information, that the government is really going to care about it? They're just going to keep on going on.
Anonymous doesn't release it for the government. The Anonymous, from what I gather, releases information for us to have so that we can make better decisions, in hopes that the people who are clouded by the facade of who people are, it's the hopes that they'll see that information, go through it, you know, research it for themselves, gain a better opinion on the situation that we're in life and in the world. No, they don't. And that's my opinion. It's my opinion because it took like the whole country. So all 50 states are protesting right now, and then 18 different countries are protesting. Like, it's a big deal now. That's the only reason why the government is moving to the point to where they finally arrested all the officers and stuff like that. But typically, we're not shown much care. And I'm not going to say the government as a whole doesn't care, but I'm just saying it's just for black people and people of color, we haven't been shown that the government cares. And that's the big problem. And it's like, caring is having equal rights, is having equal opportunities to just be successful, to honestly, to be left alone. Like, we should be able to go outside and to the park and chill without nobody bothering us. We should be able to cook without nobody bothering us. We should be able to jog without nobody bothering us. But because of the color of our skin, for whatever reason, we're a threat. And it just doesn't make no sense. It doesn't make no sense. And that's why I try to tell y'all, like, y'all got to stick together. Y'all got to make sure y'all, you know, y'all watching out for each other. Y'all got to make sure that you guys are being kind and whatever to each other. Like I always tell you, me and my brothers may not talk every single day, but let something happen. Let something happen and watch and see how we connect like Transformers or Voltron. We be up in them joints like Power Rangers together. We're not playing that. So it's just, I don't know, man. This time is hard. And I fear for you guys of what's going to be next, because this has been going on for centuries. You feel me? This is not a new thing. And that's what bothers me, is like, we've been fighting for so long just to be seen as equal. And it's like, I pray that I see it in my day. I pray that you guys see it. I pray that we'll be able to just have peace. You know what I mean? Just, yeah, I don't know. Anything else? No. All right, go ahead. Yeah, people, I just wanted to have them here. Y'all may be able to help me, you know, leave a comment, something that I could further educate myself on, educate them on, but it's just, it's crazy. It really is how, it's crazy what's going on. And it's crazy that, like, I pray it changes. I do. Like, I'm enough. You feel me? Like, as a black person, like, why I gotta fight so much? Why I gotta fight so hard? You know, I'm enough. I work hard. I pay my bills. You know, I stay out of the way like most black people. But I'm still looked at as less than. I'm still looked at as a threat. And it's like, that shit is crazy. It's depressing. I gotta wake up every day and work double time just to get not even recognized, but just to get to a place to where I can almost be equated to a human. Like, I am enough. You are enough. black men, black, you are enough. Like, enough. We got to stop letting people take our value away. We got to stop letting it come to a point to where we're docile, because we don't believe in us, because so many people have told us that we aren't enough. So many people have treated us this way and that way. And nah, we enough. Straight up, we enough. Whatever you do, whether you school, whether you go to school, whether you working, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you are into the arts or music, you are enough. Don't let nobody take that from you. Your blackness is beautiful. Period. Like, we gonna get through it, and either we gonna get respect or we gonna take respect. But enough is enough. We gotta stop believing in ourselves. We gotta start believing in each other. And not that fake, you know, oh yeah, that's what's up for the moment. I mean, like, truly believing in one another, truly supporting one another. It don't take nothing but, you know, congratulations, a good job, a retweet, a like. It don't take much to show support. It's not always money. Hell, it's not even always time. But we got to start believing in us, because nobody else does. Nobody. As you can tell what's going on right now in the world, like, nobody believes in us. Like, everybody that's fighting with us is in the same position. And we all fighting just to get treated equal. We all fighting just for us to get the same chances. Just for, like really think about this. We fighting, one, to not get killed, right? And then we're fighting for, if we do get killed, for the person who killed us to be held accountable. You know how crazy that sounds? Like, I've seen so much hatred towards Black Lives Matter. And it's so crazy to me that you can say, hey, I matter. And the world is like, nah, you don't. Like, we legit fighting to just matter. To not get treated like animals, to not get treated like some second-rate slave citizen. That's a harsh reality. And this thing has been going on for centuries. All for what? Like, at what point did the world wake up and say, all right, if you dark-skinned, you stupid. You ugly. You don't get this job. You're not capable of this. Oh, but you can dance real good, and you can run real fast, and you're real strong, so you're gonna entertain us. Nah, we're more than entertainers. We're more than athletes. We are the world. And the sooner that we all realize that, and we continue to bring this fight to them, and we continue to speak our piece and make ourselves relevant and support one another and believe in one another and lift each other up, the better it'll be. I want to leave y'all with this piece that I wrote some years back. Yeah. Thank you for tuning in. I'm just at a loss for words. The episodes will get better over time. I didn't mean to do two serious ones in a row. I really want to get into, you know, the poetry and stuff like that. So I'm going to leave you with this piece that that I wrote a couple years ago.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation.
have a dream like Dr. King to stop the fiends from fixing. And a fixer to stop pitching because our people are lynching themselves, banging the stereotype thinking it's much cooler. Turning up the stereo like what they saying is much smoother, but it's not, because the only thing they doing is changing the game up for music. Dr. Martin Luther King had a dream that channeled a movement for improving the soul from a universal standpoint, overshadowing ignorant thinking, shedding light to open the eyes of the present, believing the earth was created for all, from peons and peasants suffering now for eons of essence, to kings and queens with all things damned if they want a day with less than cool and comfortable living. This is the world we live in now, and I can't find nothing that's different. Genesis 6, a metaphorical lynching. Nobody helps, so I guess we can consider them henchmen. Sean Bell just sits the same thing, different day. If we kill someone to die, we statistics. If they do it, they get away. Areas of gray matter. Dr. King is turning in his grave because we are regressing. A colorful field of slaves with no owners or wardens, just debt and fortunes, holding us captive, keeping us floating and diving, unfocused and conniving, moving behind the wheel before we even realize that we driving. I have a dream like Dr. King to speak to the fatherless son. Break the chain, start a new cycle. Father your sons, love your daughters. God did the things much greater than hustlers' money, because even a hustler suffers a drought and tussle with money. Teach them they gotta respect to get it. Show them the reflection in living is more about giving than everything you're getting. Claim your kids, even though your baby mom be acting funny. She sends you pictures, ask for money. She tell you can't see him on Saturday, be a man, try on Sunday. That don't work, ride by on Monday. Kiss your kids and tell them you love them, or just grab them and hug them. I have a dream like Dr. King to speak to the young lady. The baby of a baby that just had a baby. It's crazy how fast we all grow up. I wanna tell her, calm down, slow down, hold up. Baby girl, your life is still precious. Even if you sex less, or even if you don't do it at all, believe he'll call and respect your belief. But if your safe sex turns into an accident that you're willing to own to, and he play like Cain the Menace and say it's on you, don't abort your seed, deliver your present, and teach it to be present like roll call, name, hand raise, present. If he call, let him see his kids. If not, teach him not to hate them. Pass your strength to them so they'll know how to handle themselves when they have to face them. Teach them love and compassion, love and great faith, so they'll know when to speak up and when to bite their tongues and save face. I have a dream like Dr. King, but the only thing is I haven't slept in years.